The definition of Oasis, Neil Boron, live.
So let's get back to it here on a Monday edition of NBL. And we're going to look forward to having some guests with us today. Lisa Kratz Thomas. Her life literally is nothing short of a miracle. She went from the crack house to the state house. You might remember the first time we had her on when she shared her testimony with us. Served on a Senate subcommittee. Her life literally has been transformed by the power of Christ. She's written three books, travels the country speaking at prisons, churches, rehab, schools. She was headlong into drug addiction and alcohol abuse, even prostitution on the streets of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. Found herself incarcerated, and for many, obviously, that would be the end of the story, but not Lisa. And she entered a 12-step recovery program and turned her life over to God. She's been a part of that for well over two decades. And joining us as well today, Kathy Gray, good friend of Lisa's. They met many years ago, lived in the same neighborhood, raised in academia and a Protestant ministry home. Kathy obviously was around the church. She was around Christianity, but became addicted to comparison and perfectionism. You know, I was mentioning a few of the things people can become addicted to. Comparisonism and perfectionism, the whole idea of being like OCD, the reality is that at times we can care more about what people think about our perfectionism than about what God thinks about us in our brokenness and failure. I mean, we are loved by God, even though we're imperfect. And there are some times when we set our sights on the thoughts of others, you know, like that we have to win their approval, and that can be very destructive. Kathy, however, has been a part of Al-Anon for many years. Some of the folks that she's loved have struggled with deep addiction, of course, and she's had a few of her own. So Al-Anon has been a real source of comfort in Kathy Gray's life, and they were both with us last week here on NBL. Let me start with Lisa real quick and welcome her back to the conversation. Lisa, I can't even believe it's been a week. How are you?
I am great. And last week was just great, Neil. We just felt that we had a real opportunity to share some of our experience, strength, and hope, and we are looking forward to diving into it today.
Well, we're going to dig in as quick as we can here, but let's kind of go back for just a second and reset the table here, if we can, with regard to what we're doing here. And we don't want to go over all of this because we did it last week in great detail, but we're gonna dig into step one of the 12 steps today. But somebody might say, well, Lisa, why are you doing a series on 12 steps? What would you say from your perspective?
Well, I would say that that there's a mixed and differing view of the 12 steps for people who have not really experienced them. And what's so powerful about the 12 steps, number one, they are definitely biblically inspired. Number two, they are just a different vehicle, if you will, to understanding God's word and understanding some of the promises that God has for us. You know, you could look at it like this. You could look at it as when you're trying to get healthy at the beginning of the year, everybody's, you know, I'm going to get healthy. Some people pick paleo diet. Some people pick Weight Watchers. Some people go to the gym. But the end result is to get healthy. So I look at 12-step recovery as a way to God, just another vehicle to be able to understand and fully embrace some of the concepts of the word and how to live in the world with other people in harmony.
Somebody might say, well, wait a second, there's only one way to God, and that's Jesus. Have you had encounters with Jesus through the 12-step program?
Well, that's where I got saved. I had been brought up in a very traditional religion. I knew about Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. And what happened was I was in those meetings, and, you know, God started working on my heart. He started getting me ready to receive. Because of my past, my heart was so hardened, and it was so closed. that it really took a while to soften it up and to, first of all, believe, was there a God that really loved me? I mean, how does a God that really loves you allow you to go through the things that you go through? And so I really was skeptical. So what 12-step did is it opened me up. It created a soft ground where the seeds could be planted and where I could start to get to know this Jesus. And he put people around me that were strong Christians that helped me look at my Bible and read my Bible. And that's where I fell in love with the one who saved my soul, and that is Jesus Christ.
Amen. All right, so we've heard your take on the overview of the 12 steps. And, of course, as I mentioned, we're not going to dig in again in great detail. But, Kathy, let me welcome you back to the program as well, and thank you for joining us again. Hey. So you're here.
How are you? I'm here.
Yeah. Lisa just did an incredible job from her heart sharing why she thinks the 12 steps can be worth looking at and really valuable tools in helping to point people to a relationship with God, because ultimately they're based in God's word. But would you agree with that? Yeah. And from your perspective, share your thoughts about why you think it's important we do this series.
Yeah, well, there's multiple reasons. 12 Steps was introduced into my life as a tool from the Lord at a critical time when a lot of what I had come to understand through the scriptures just wasn't resonating with me anymore. Those phrases and concepts and ideas had been twisted around in my mind. There was nothing wrong with the scriptures. It was in my own mind. And they were ineffective, and I had gotten to a place of despair and hopelessness. And when I entered the rooms of 12-step recovery, I heard those same principles without all of the Christianese, if you will. And so for someone like me, it was so helpful because it gave me a fresh lens on the truths found in the scriptures without the same kind of way that I had processed those things before in the past. So it was very valuable to me, and I think it's valuable to many of our brothers and sisters out there who they know that the truths in the Word are true, that they work, but it just isn't making sense in their current situation with addiction or living with someone that's dealing with addiction. And so I hope that this is encouraging to them so that they can see things in a little more fresh way with a new lens.
Okay. And from my perspective, let me just say again, and I alluded to some of this sort of in the opening monologue, more or less, but here we are at the beginning of a year, and I'm thinking about the person who's been wrestling with something like for years, long time, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, step one in the 12 steps, in its generic form, says we admitted we were powerless over our addiction, that our lives had become unmanageable. So in Alcoholics Anonymous, that the word alcohol would be included in that phrase, but it doesn't necessarily matter what it is. It's the idea that we realize we're up against something we haven't been able to find victory in our own strength, and that's not necessarily a bad thing because, you know, for instance, sin. Like, we couldn't overcome sin on our own, so we turned to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We called out to him in our brokenness and failure, and he met us there, and he brought us to faith in him and of course into relationship with our God. So it's that powerlessness can be a wonderful place to be, and I'm just highlighting that for a second, because for all of you who listen on a regular basis to NBL, Zachman and I determined this was going to be a good way to go for the start of 2019, to take Mondays as a day when we could work through the 12 steps, see what God's Word has to say about each of them, hear from Lisa and Kathy and their experience, hear from many of you about your experience, and together be an encouragement to those who are kind of lurking in the shadows saying, I know I got something that's bigger than me, but I'm just afraid. And it's hard to come to that place of saying, I need help, and I'm powerless. Where do I go for help? So, Lord willing, this is going to be a vehicle for transformation in all of our lives as we see God work. So I'm just going to open again real quick with prayer and say, Lord, I thank you for Lisa Kratz Thomas, for Kathy Gray, for everyone who's listening right now, because we don't ultimately believe we're here by accident. Lord, You gave us this radio station in 1963, and for 55 or 56 years, it's been used for your glory to point people to you. And that's our intention again in this series, right here on NBL on Mondays for the next few months, to look at the 12 steps one by one, dig in, see what your word says, and see how you're speaking to our lives individually through your word. And our goal would be to encourage people to turn to Jesus in brokenness, in powerlessness, and watch your power be perfected in each of their lives and in each of their situations, ours included, Lord. So have your way in our lives, we pray. Holy Spirit, come and do what only you can do in working in our midst. And we want to hear from you. We want to be transformed by you. So this is your time, and we give it to you for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
So this is going to be good. Now, I mentioned sort of a generic form here of the first step. We admitted that we were powerless over our addiction, that our lives had become unmanageable. And Lisa, let me just ask you for a second, because you've done some 12-step programs for sure. Typically, you could almost fill in any blank there, right? Whether it's alcohol or drugs or whatever. Can you talk about that for a second?
I was powerless just over life. I was powerless over alcohol, over crack cocaine, over men, over anything that was an escape from the walls of my own mind, what I had built up. So any way that I could escape that, I would. And, you know, what happens is you think that this is helping you, but the problem is you grow deeper and deeper into the addiction, so that you need more and more of that thing to erase what the addiction has done, so it becomes a vicious cycle. But, you know, I always like to, this is the one thing that's, when you talk about powerlessness and you know, nobody wants to admit total defeat. I mean, come on, that is, in our world today, nobody wants to admit that they're defeated. I mean, every single instinct cries out against personal powerlessness. And you know, it doesn't matter if it's on a sports field, if it's, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of secular songs about it. I mean, even in churches, it's people want to be viewed as having some control over their life. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I have to go to John 3:30. I mean, this is the exact philosophy. He says, I must decrease. I must decrease so that he can increase. And, and to me, that is nothing but admitting that I am weak, but honey, I know the one who isn't, and he is strong.
Amen. All right.
You know?
Yeah. Amen to that. Kathy, you want to echo what she's saying? How do you want to describe it from your perspective?
Yeah, the powerlessness aspect. And earlier, Neil, I thought, did I send you my notes? Because it was like you were reading right off of my notes when talking about the 12 steps and this particular step. Yeah, the, you know, it's one of the hardest steps, because we admit, we equate powerlessness as total failure, and not just failure, but more about who we actually are, like the word worthless. It brings up shame. And it's a real deception that when we admit powerless over something uncontrollable, it means that the situation is hopeless, that there's no future. And that's not what we're talking about at all. We're simply agreeing with God's word that with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And his power is perfected in weakness. And so we are just saying, okay, this, I cannot make my way through this life without having God be the source of power in my life. And when I have tried to do this on my own, even if I think I'm including God, but still I'm, you know, the one in charge, it just doesn't work. So that powerlessness sounds really overwhelming and scary, but it actually is a huge relief that, oh, I never had control over this in the first place. Okay, I'm handing over my, you know, illusion of control, and I'm going to ask God how he actually created me to be empowered in my life.
All right, so this could take a lot of forms depending on who we're talking to and exactly what their situation looks like, because everyone's got a slightly different situation. But there are those times in our life when we realize that we're going nowhere and we need help. And it's in those times that we cry out and ask for help. By the way, I could give you multiple examples of times in my life when somebody lovingly confronted me and said, Neil, you need to learn how to ask for help sooner. And all of this stuff isn't not every one of them were the kind of things that, you know, I would self-destruct on. But I'll give you an example. When I was doing radio news in Washington, D.C., working for Focus on the Family, my deadline every day was 3 o'clock. And so you're working on some story, and it usually had to do with something that was going on between New York City and Atlanta, somewhere in that zone is what the territory I was supposed to cover. And, you know, I'd be working on pulling a story together, and yet somebody would fail to call me for a soundbite, you know, some key element in this story. Mm-hmm. And here it is, 2:45 or 15 minutes from deadline, and I'm not asking for help because I'm thinking I'm gonna find a different guy to fill in, or somebody's gonna give me a soundbite. I'm gonna make it happen. And inevitably, it's 3:05, and they're saying, "Where's your story, man? I was supposed to file it, you know, via satellite, blah blah blah," and they just said, "Neil, you're good at what you do, but you'd be a lot better if you learned how to ask for help earlier."
That's good.
You know, it's just kind of it's just like pride or something gets in the way, and it's just so common. But, you know, I guess the bottom line is we want people who are listening right now to know that you're invited into this conversation. And whether or not you've been through the 12 steps, the goal is for all of us to gain something here in conversation. So I want to basically ask you to think about times in your life where you finally came to a place of powerlessness and asked for help. Or maybe you're on the verge of that right now. But what is that? What did it look like? And we're going to talk more detail in a moment about where you go from here, because step one deals with this very question. So ladies, if you can hang on for just a moment, we'll be back with more of NBL in just a moment.
Want to be more than just a listener? Here's suggestion number 8 on how to become an actual NBL participant. Vote for me, Pete Presnell, as announcer of the year.
All right, let's get back to it on a Monday edition of NBL, and we're going to try to stay on time this week. This is not easy in the middle of this kind of a conversation, but we've got Lisa Kratz-Thomas and Kathy Gray with us, co-authors of a book called Light in Our Darkness, and best friends for a really long time, even though they're both incredibly young. And
You are so accurate, Neil. I just want to just say that.
we're just babies.
Exactly. Yeah. Anyhow, one more thing here for our listeners. I really want to know, especially if you've been in a place like this, if you think it's necessary to reach bottom or to feel a sense of powerlessness in order for you to experience God. I'm going to go with I think it is. And the reason being, because I didn't know God till I realized I was broken and a mess with nowhere to go. And that's when I cried out to Jesus, and that's when I met God. Mm-hmm. So my point is, in order to be helped, how important is it to be powerless? I think it's extremely important. But in general, I just want to ask you, if you're listening today, whether or not you've been a part of any 12-step program, what about your experience? How has powerlessness been an asset to you? How important is it? How important was it in your journey to finding freedom, to finding Christ, et cetera? So if you've got a little story you want to tell about that, or you've been involved, you know, in dealing with addiction or something, what role did powerlessness play, the admission of powerlessness play in you finding freedom? 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. And again, this is a major series we're doing here that's designed to provide a blessing for all who are listening. So listen, your story, what you've been through, and I'm talking to listeners here all over Western New York and Southern Ontario, will be a tremendous encouragement to other people who are dealing with the same thing. So whether it was, you know, gambling or porn addiction or fear and anxiety or alcoholism or drug addiction, or, you know, whether it was substance-based or not, you've walked this road to some degree, and we want to give you an opportunity to join us. And if you're thinking you need to walk the road, please call as well. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. All right. We had a lot of great feedback, by the way, last week based on, you know, the comments you guys made and what you shared. And I just want to thank you again as we continue here for being transparent, both of you, for being vulnerable. And looking forward to digging in here on this issue of powerlessness. But let me just ask you briefly in your own stories how important it was to come to a place of admitting you needed help in whatever circumstance it was, whether it was one time or many times. You've probably been in this place before. So I guess I'll start with Kathy this time because we love Texas. So let's go to Texas right now. Kathy.
Yay, yes.
Go ahead.
And believe me, Texans love Texas too, and I count myself a transferred
just,
one. So,
just ask one.
You know, Lisa and I talked about this when we were writing the book because both of us reached such an extreme point to admit powerlessness. And it's like, man, I don't think everybody has to be that desperate like we were. And I hope they aren't. And we put that in the book. We hope that this isn't what it takes for you. But for me, I had to quit functioning. I mean, the deception was so deeply ingrained in my mind as something that God wanted in my life, which was to try harder, perfectionism, and then kind of check around me with comparison. That was so ingrained in me as God's will for my life, and it was a total deception, that I had to stop functioning in my life. That's what it took. I couldn't think. I was in panic. I could no longer function, and I'm like, oh, light bulb comes on. Something's not working. And, you know, enter stage left was Lisa saying, you know, Jesus loves you, getting back to the basics and saying, you're going to make it through this. He has a plan for your life. And then starting to introduce me to the truths in the 12 steps. So for me, it was a pretty low bottom.
All right. And before we go to Lisa here real quick, mm-hmm. but let me just ask you, you had alluded to this earlier and I failed to jump in because you were on a roll, but you said something like, because you grew up around Christianity, you grew up around Christianese, you know, the way we talk mm-hmm. in Christian circles.
Yeah.
And it sounded like what you said, it wasn't God's word that was a problem. It was your understanding of his word or your interpretation of the word that was creating a problem. Can you just give us a brief example of what that looked like? Because obviously,
sure.
12 steps helped clean some of this up for you.
Absolutely. Let's take any verse that had to do with fear. Whenever I read "fear not" in the Bible, as opposed to thinking God is the one who enables us to come into His love to cast out fear, I would think I'm failing because I'm fearing, and so I didn't know what to do with that, and I would just try harder not to be afraid instead of admitting that I'm powerless over my fear and that I have to have God infuse me with his love and understand how this life works in order to get past it. Or, you know, Abraham was believed God and it was counted unto him as righteousness. Well, I took that verse and I thought, well, I'm not believing God because I don't trust him because bad things keep happening and I'm afraid and I keep failing. And so I thought, you know, he must be so disappointed in me. And I would isolate myself internally from God, even though I would continue to do all the outside things. I don't know. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely. It sure does. And I think there's a whole lot of people right now going, man, I think I've been in this place before. And it has a lot to do, I think, with our identity of who we really are in Christ, right? So, and maybe we can say in advance, one of the things you're going to learn as we look at the 12 steps is what our true identity is in Christ and how much he loves us in spite of our brokenness, remembering, of course, that it was Jesus who went to the cross and died for us while we were still sinners. And verse 10 of Romans 5 says, and enemies of God, sinners and enemies of God, and we were loved by him and he went to the cross for us. So. Obviously, there's a lot to learn there. Let me get to Matt real quick. I want to welcome Matt to the conversation. Chris, we'll get to you in just a second. But Matt, if you don't mind, you had a comment to make about, and you're a new believer, is that right? How long have you known the Lord?
Just about 6 months now.
Hey, man, welcome to the family of God. That's awesome. All right.
Thank you.
So you had a comment about being powerless. You're hearing the conversation here. So how is this striking you, and what did you want to say about that?
Well, I was I turned to Christ to save my marriage, and I was still walking with the world. I was still doing a lot of things that I had been doing before, but I was professing to be a Christian. And I heard a Bible teacher talk about if you have sins still in your life, if you're still doing things that you did before that you haven't changed, you're not going to hear the prompting. You're not going to get the promptings of the Spirit. You're not going to know the joy of Christ. So I gave up all the things in my life that I was doing before, and praise God, the joy in my life has doubled, even tripled. And I now know, I now feel the promptings of the Spirit and know the love of God.
Hmm. Wow. Just rejoicing with you. Lisa, do you want to comment on that?
Well, first of all, congratulations. And, our life is never the same once we accept Jesus into it. But I that whole idea that every person who has an addiction has to hit bottom, and we do. And for some of us, that bottom is lower. For some, it's higher. It just depends on our personal makeup. But I love this reading from a 12-step book out of the 12 and 12. It says, under the lash of, whatever you want to put in there, alcoholism, perfectionism, under the lash of, we are driven to 12-step recovery. And there, we discover the fatal nature of our situation. Hmm. Then and only then do we become open-minded to conviction and as willing to listen as only the dying can be. We stand ready to do anything which will lift this merciless obsession from us. And, what our caller said was, I was introduced to Jesus, but I chose to do it my way. And it isn't until you hit that brick wall and you realize, wait a minute, I'm going to die. And I don't, I'm not talking about physically. Spiritually, emotionally, I'm going to shut down. I am never going to walk from this darkness into lightness unless I allow Jesus to be my guide. And that means if somebody guides you, you've got to let go of the reins. If they're guiding you, they're the ones that are showing you where to go. So it's just another sense of proof that being powerless is really surrendering to strength.
Yeah. Kath, anything you want to add in commenting about Matt's phone call here?
Oh, my gosh. I'm just so thankful for him and that God not only introduced himself to him and worked in his heart, but also that he started understanding what it meant to live like who he actually was as a new creation. That's just a beautiful testimony.
Amen. Absolutely. Matt, thank you for the phone call and for getting us started here on a Monday edition of NBL. God bless you, brother.
Thank you.
And Lord, we pray for...
Keep up the good work, brother.
Thank you. Lord, we pray for continued growth in Matt's life. Thank you for the opportunity to rejoice with him for the work that you have done and are doing in his life and in all of our lives. And Lord, continue to guide our conversation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
In the social media world of selfies, likes, and shares, NBL is your lifeline for real talk about real stuff.
Let's continue the conversation on a Monday edition of NBL, and thanks for listening across all of upstate New York and throughout southern Ontario, Toronto, and beyond. Lisa Kratz Thomas and Kathy Gray are with us. They're co-authors of a book called Light in Our Darkness, and also longtime personal friends, both of whom have been blessed tremendously in their lives through 12-step programs, 12-step ministry, and came up with the idea that maybe we should talk about it on the air, like going step by step to really focus on what's important regarding those steps. Got one more call I want to deal with here quickly from Chris, because it deals with the issue of powerlessness. But there are a couple of other key words in step one that we're going to focus on as well, one of them being unmanageable, that our lives have become unmanageable. So we've got a lot of ground to cover here. 800-684-2848, 883-5000 in the greater Buffalo area. Chris has been holding for a while. Oops, we lost him somewhere along the line. So let's go straight to Mike in Burlington, Ontario. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good. How are you today?
Very good. Happy Monday. You had something you wanted to share with us in the midst of this conversation, so let's get to it. What's up?
I'm not only celebrating Monday, but I'm celebrating 3,616 days today of sobriety.
Praise God.
Wow.
Wow. I'm trying to do the math, so that's over 10 years, I think.
Almost 10. It'll be 10 years in February.
Praise God. Wow.
Congratulations.
Awesome.
One of the biggest things that I believe is that the 12 steps are an unbelievable way to live your life, because when I first started, I had no idea how to live my life. And 10 years ago, I was living my life for everyone else. I was going to AA for everybody else. Then I made the choice to do it for me.
Good for you. That is so encouraging to hear. Let me just ask you briefly, Mike, and we won't keep you, but step one deals with the issue of being powerless, but it also says that we came to realize that our lives were unmanageable. Would you say that was true in your life?
Well, let's put it this way. I was kicked out of my house. No, I left. But kicked out of my house, about to lose my job and living on payday loans. And because I was kicked out of my house, the only place I could stay was my mom's. And I made her cry one night because of things I was saying, because I was still drinking. And my brother and three friends came over the next night. And that's when I finally sat down and admitted that I was powerless over alcohol and that my life had become unmanageable. And I never forget the feeling that night when I was outside having a smoke, which I've quit since. I just felt light, like God had lifted a weight off my shoulders.
You know what I'm hearing? Like, it wasn't the end for you, Mike. It was the end of an addiction. It was the end of brokenness, but it was the beginning of freedom. That was day one of freedom. And here
exactly.
We are. 3,660 something days later. That's incredible.
60, yeah. And I just found out this past week from a psychologist that I was suffering from post-traumatic stress from an accident I had 20 years ago in the military, where I lost my coworker.
Wow, you've been up against a lot, brother. Kathy, let me start with you this time. Anything you want to say to Mike? Because obviously we're rejoicing with him here, but your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, Mike, congratulations. I'm just so thankful for the fact that you're a walking miracle and testament to God's grace. And, you know, I love what Mike said about, I had no idea how to live my life. I so resonate with that. And when I was thinking about this show this week, I was thinking, you know, everything in the Genesis account of creation is about boundaries. God creates something amazing, then he sets a boundary. You know, the light from the dark, the sea from the land, each thing after its own kind. And for us, he set up boundaries and how to live and how to function. And since the fall, we've been trying to figure out how to live as he created us to. And I just, when I'm listening to Mike, I think, you know, what God introduced into his life was the appropriate boundary so that he could flourish. And I just threw the 12 steps, and I just love that.
So well said. Lisa, anything from you?
Yeah, I'd like to just say, first of all, congratulations. And do you see when you hear that, when you hear somebody talk like that, it is so encouraging. And imagine yourself sitting in a 12-step meeting with 25 other people that are talking about their experience of powerlessness. our caller also said that he stepped outside and he realized for the first time that when he surrendered to that powerlessness, he felt freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, for anybody who has let their mind control their thinking, anybody who has been in a spiritual or emotional prison, if you will, or an addictive, you know, something physically, I mean, to be free of that type of control and to say, just to literally throw your hands up in joy and say, I give up to you, God, I give up to you, and to feel the relief that you get and the love that you feel when that happens, you almost can't put it into words. So that's why that's one of the reasons I love to go to meetings, because you hear beautiful explanations like we just heard. So congratulations to you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mike, for the phone call. When we come back, we continue with Lisa Kratz-Thomas and Kathy Gray talking about step one of the 12 steps. If you have a question or comment, you are more than welcome to join us. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. We focused on the word powerless, but there are other key words in step one. We'll get to those when NBL returns.
Want to be more than just a listener? Here's suggestion number three on how to become an actual NBL participant. Support our advertisers.
All right, so the basic question we're throwing out to you today is, how has the issue of powerlessness, hard to say, how has the issue of powerlessness been a blessing in your life, or how have you seen God use it in bringing you to a place of healing, really, where you had to admit that you were powerless or that your life in some fashion had become unmanageable? How important do you think that step has been for you? And that obviously would be then part of your story, which you're welcome to tell here. But we'd love to hear what your take is on that, because think about this. There are thousands of people listening right now who are dealing with situations in their life where they need to admit powerlessness or have yet to see how unmanageable their lives have become. And so your comment about your situation is going to have an impact on those who are listening, because they're in your same shoes, many of them. Not the exact same story, of course, but God is working in your life, and he has worked, and that's going to be an encouragement to those who are listening. So we want to hear from you. It's 800-684-2848, 883-5000 in the greater Buffalo area. And we want to continue here with Lisa Kratz-Thomas and Kathy Gray. All right, so I alluded earlier to this, and I know that you're a strong believer that there's a whole lot of meat in these 12 steps. I focused on powerlessness earlier, Lisa, but you were concerned that we not miss out on a couple of other key words in step one of the 12 steps.
That's right. There are two other words that are very important. And the first step in the first, I mean, the first word in the first step is we. We. Now, here's the thing. We know that Satan's job is to steal, devour, and destroy. And one of the ways he does that is he isolates us. And people who deal with addictions, any type of addictions, I mean, I don't care if you're a crafter, if you are in your house all day crafting, if it's an addiction, if that is causing you to have difficulty operating in your normal day, then you could call that an addiction. So let's just say something like that, like you like to craft. Well, what happens is you eventually end up that it's you and the craft. If you're an alcoholic, eventually you end up, it's you and the alcohol. It keeps you isolated. And when we're isolated, we don't have the support of other people. Now we say, well, what's the big deal with that? Well, let's look at what Jesus did. Jesus started his ministry with people. He had 12 apostles. He didn't do anything by himself. He was always surrounded with people who could encourage, who could carry the message, who would come along, who he could share with. And that strengthened him. It strengthened all of them. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We are created to be in communion with each other. As Kathy mentioned in Genesis, the boundaries, well, not only the boundaries, God created Adam, but Adam was alone. He needed fellowship. So the we and the first step is also a stepping stone for maybe people who are, they feel embarrassed, they haven't reached the idea of being powerlessness or surrender. Mm-hmm. I can tell you, for me, I knew there was a God, but you would have never, ever gotten me to walk to the threshold of a church into a church service. I would have never done it. So this whole concept of the we and that first step is evangelistic in nature, and it is so biblical. And I'll tell you, when you can walk into a room and before you leave, you feel like you belong, when maybe for years you have been alone in your secrets, it is the beginning of acceptance. It's the beginning of seeing glimmers of hope. You mean to tell me there's someone else that's just like me? So we is a huge aspect in this first step of coming to a point where we can even see, look at, or admit the powerlessness that we experience.
Before I turn to Kathy, will you grant me the floor for just a minute? Can I say something here real quick? Because this is really cool that you're focusing. As I'm looking again at this step, and I'm looking at the generic form of the 12 steps because it's not directly associated with alcohol or gambling or whatever. It says this: we admitted we were powerless over our addiction, that our lives had become unmanageable. That sense of, in a sense, community, right? That, mm-hmm. and they often say, we've heard this said, that the ground at the foot of the cross is level, right? There isn't anybody in God's kingdom who the Lord was like, well, you know, you really didn't need Jesus because you were such a good guy. I gave you a free pass, but thank goodness for, you know, Lisa and Neil and Kathy, because they really needed Jesus, right? But no, we're all sinners, separated from God by our sin. Mm-hmm. So the ground at the foot of the cross is level. But here's the other thing. I'm thinking about 1 John 1:9. So when we come to faith in Christ, when we come to the place of recognizing that we're sinners, we know that if we confess our sins, there's the word we, by the way, if we confess mm-hmm. our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And what occurs to me here is that that we're in this thing together, that we're broken together, and God did this for all of us because of His great love for us. And by the way, then if you look at 1 John 1:9 and ask yourself, is the object of God's affection sin? No. Is it purity? No. I mean, He would love if we could be free from sin, but that's not the object of His affection. He went to the cross because He loves us. He wanted to purify mm-hmm. us from all unrighteousness. So it's interesting that you focus on that word we, because it provides some level of comfort to say, look, I'm not alone in this. The enemy wants me to believe that, but man, we all need Jesus. So Kathy, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I had to jump in and say that. I was just so anxious.
That's good.
But
so good. It's so good. And again, I did not send Neil my notes, but I think he's been reading them, because that's definitely a passage of scripture that came to my mind as well. In the rooms of 12-step that I've been in for years, one of the things we talk about is terminal uniqueness. And it's where it's just a phrase used to describe the person who comes in, like myself. Oh, but you understand, you have more willpower than I do, and my problem is worse than yours, and, you know, God will work for you, but He won't work for me. And this is what I think in my isolation. There's something really wrong with me that other people don't have, and it's just this constant push down from the enemy and accusation. So, the terminal uniqueness, you get in these rooms, and you're like, oh, you know, Joe over there has the same problem. He thought the same way I did, and this solution worked for him. And Susie over there, you know, she experienced the same thing I did. I'm not alone, and I definitely need what they have in these rooms. So that isolation thing is huge. And Lisa, that was such a good point, bringing out the we. It is definitely a we thing.
Absolutely. All right. So let's get back to the phones here. And Scott's been holding for a little while. So we'll welcome Scott to the conversation. Fredonia, New York. Scott, you're on NBL. What's up?
Hey, Neil. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to comment and say that I actually was pursuing a relationship with Christ before I came into the 12-step program. And it's without a doubt, it was Christ that led me to the 12-step program. My drinking was getting worse and worse, and I could see it. It was progressing. It was starting to take over my day, and I mean that in a way that I would still go and do my job, but I would structure my day around my drinking, and I would schedule things or not schedule things, and I would, you know, all of a sudden start to avoid going to get-togethers because, well, if I do that, then I'm not going to be able to drink until 7 o'clock, and I really want to have a drink at 4 o'clock, and my point is that I could see this in my life. And I remember on a Saturday night, and I was like, I know I need help. And I all I knew was of AA, and I didn't know what it entailed other than it was for someone who was dealing with problems with alcohol. And honestly, I thought that they would show me how I could better control my drinking because I had no intention of quitting drinking, no intention at all.
Right.
But I wanted to somehow get it under control. And that next morning, I found a meeting, and I went to a meeting, and that was almost 2 years ago. Now, I'd like to sit here and tell you that I have 2 years sobriety. I don't. I have had a slip, but I can tell you that I have never felt a bond like I felt when I went to that meeting, and every meeting I've gone to since. There is something about walking into a room. When I started to hear these people tell their stories of what alcohol had done in their life, I thought, wow, he just told my story. Or she just told my story. And so I could instantly relate. These people knew it. When they talked, I listened because they knew exactly what I was feeling. And the bond that I could feel with these people so quickly was unbelievable. I felt truly loved from that first meeting.
Okay.
By the time I walked out the door. Go ahead, Neil.
And let me ask you then. So Lisa just highlighted the first part, we admitted that we were powerless over our addiction. In other words, it really helped you to know you weren't in this alone, that other people had experienced freedom, that you were on your way to experiencing freedom. I'm getting the impression that the community of folks gathered there was a blessing to you.
It's unbelievable, and I encourage anyone that might be struggling with addiction right now, and maybe they have contemplated a 12-step program. I think in some facets it's gotten a negative mindset. I would encourage them to just go and try it out and maybe go with someone. And I can guarantee you will never regret it. It's changed my life.
I got to ask you one more question. One more question real quick. Scott, I'm thrilled, man. I'm like so excited hearing your story. But you're like a prime example of why we're doing this, why we're talking about it. And whatever the addiction, whatever the issue, the hurt, the habit, or the hang-up, as they say in Celebrate Recovery, whatever the issue, God wants to bring us to a place where we find the help that we need, where we get healing. Now, 12-step programs are wonderful tools, but ultimately we get led to Jesus, the one who can set us free. Now, you said that earlier that you were a believer when you first got involved in the 12 steps. So now that you've been involved for a while and you've helped to come to some clarity of what was going on in your life and realize how unmanageable things have become, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but it sounds like that's what you're saying. Is your relationship with God, do you know him better now that this has happened, or did you know him better before? In other words, has this confused your relationship?
My relationship with Christ has grown exponentially.
Boom.
I can't even put into words.
Yep.
He led me to AA because here's the other side of the story, Neil, is not only now that I have been sober and even with my slip, I know I am powerless over alcohol. It cannot be a part of my life, and I no longer ever want to be a part of my life. And here's the other thing that's happened is now being in a sober mindset. And I look back and I'm like, I have so much more time on my hands. And I think, what was I doing with all this time? What was I doing? I was structuring on my drinking.
Yep.
But here's what I'm doing. What am I doing now with my time? Is God has put it on my heart to give back. And I have been volunteering my time at local churches. I was up at Pastor Eric John's for the Boxes of Love.
Oh, yeah, Buffalo Dream Center. Yeah,
absolutely, yes. I've gone up there. I plan on going up there this Saturday. They're doing a Table of Grace. And my point is that he's put it on my heart. He has shown me a sober life, and he's also, my relationship with Jesus Christ has grown, and he has said, Scott, I have a plan for you, and you are going to be my disciple, and you are to go out there and mm-hmm. spread the word of God and with a sober mindset, and you can share your story, and you can lead others. And maybe it's people that I come across that are struggling with addiction, and I can share my story, and I can maybe not lead them in a direction to help get them sober, but also lead them to Christ. And if they can experience just a tenth of what I've gotten to experience, and we're talking in 2 years, I think you can feel this is what God has put on my heart, and this is what he's doing. And I firmly believe he's done this through the 12-step program.
Okay. Wow.
And it's changed my life in so many ways. My life today is so much better. And, you know, my relationship, my kids, my work, I'm healthier. You know, I wake up every morning. I read scripture every morning, you know. And, you know, I used to wake up in the morning and I would get sick before I went to work.
Wow.
Because I was physically, that's what I was doing to my body, that poison I was putting in every night. And
incredible.
I get sick, you know? And I mean, it just, why? But you know what? I was powerless because I would do it day after day. Was I powerless? Yeah. Why would you do that?
Yeah.
And by 4:30 that afternoon, I was ready to do it again.
Incredible.
I mean, that's how sick, that's what alcohol, cunning, baffling, and powerful.
It's literally
that's exactly what it is.
Form of self-destruction, no doubt. All right, so.
Oh, absolutely.
Kathy, I got to let you chime in here because you're like the little church mouse in the background there.
But yeah.
I know you got stuff to say about this one.
Oh, I just love it. I mean, he's echoing my story. My obsession wasn't alcohol. Mine was the alcoholic. So the one who was drinking or, quote, not behaving correctly, they were my obsession. And I didn't have the energy to put into my time with God. I would wake up sick in the morning because I was so worried about everyone around me and what's going to happen and what does that mean about me, how they live their lives. But, yeah, going into the rooms of 12 Step just exploded my relationship with Jesus Christ. It gave me a perspective that I needed and the energy. My life was so chaotic. I just don't have that chaos in my life. Circumstances can happen, but I have a very low tolerance for chaos now. I'm much more orderly and directed by God because I just love this testimony. It's just awesome.
Yeah, and thank you, Kathy. And Lisa, I don't want to throw you off course at all by what I'm about to say real quick, but the idea that the community matters, that we, like in the body of Christ, we've been called to fellowship together and getting mm-hmm. together on a consistent basis for the kind of thing Kathy just described, and we also heard from Scott there, but getting together and seeking God together, knowing we need him, you know, with mm-hmm. a sense of dependence is powerful because we can encourage one another. We can hold each other accountable. We can pray for one mm-hmm. another. We can cry with one another. We can do whatever needs to be done. And by the way, when we gather two or three in his name, he meets us there in the midst. So mm-hmm. it's just huge. Any thoughts real quick here, Lisa?
Well, I would just like to say to Scott, you know, it's obvious. You can listen to the Spirit of God just oozing from his being. And, mm-hmm. and that's encouraging, number one. But you know, he describes very well that, you know, you first got to accept that you're powerless before you can see the unmanageability in your life. If you don't accept the fact that you have no control over this, what did he say? I got up every single morning doing the same thing over and over again. And until you realize I'm powerless over this, you can't even see how unmanageable that is. And I mean, when I just have to throw this in, Neil. When you said, you know, the gathering of people together, let me tell you, I can just tell you from my personal story. I mean, I was living on the street. I was in a domestic violence relationship. I wasn't bathing but once a week. I was stealing. I was in the worst situation. I couldn't smoke enough crack cocaine. And you've got to, you know, the next time you drive down in the city and you see somebody laying in the park, okay, just picture that person walking into an AA or an NA or a 12-step meeting, and they get to experience the love of Christ when they walk in. They may not know what it mm-hmm. is. Trust me, I had no idea what it was. I had no idea. But it's
planted a seed of hope in me, and I wanted what those people had. I wanted to be around those people. So this is the miracle of this, of how God, in his divine wisdom, just wove this thing together to welcome in people who were broken. It's just gorgeous. I love it.
Love it so much. All right, we'll be back in just a moment. Thank you, Scott, for your phone call. Absolutely incredible, and we're definitely rejoicing with you. Sam, we're going to get to your call in just a second. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. More on a Monday edition of NBL with Lisa Kratz-Thomas and Kathy Gray as we talk about step one of the 12 steps.
Want to be more than just a listener? Here's suggestion number two on how to become an actual NBL participant. Tell your friends to listen.
That's a great start right there. Definitely would love to have all of your friends listening. LisaKratzThomas.com is where you can go for more information about Lisa, and she can get you connected to Kathy as well. They're co-authors of a book called Light in Our Darkness, and it does include some conversation about this kind of thing, but it's also a fascinating book that deals with a number of other issues. Can you just give us the 30-second overview, Lisa?
Sure. It is a book about three individual lives, my life, Kathy's life, and Dr. Bernard Nathanson, who was responsible for ushering in abortion on demand and paved the way for Roe v. Wade. What we found, all three of us, in our stories, is that we were in darkness, and God brought us into his light. We had to go through some things. We had to go through brokenness. We had to admit our faults. We had to surrender to something bigger and higher than ourselves. And in that, it showed us it doesn't matter if you're a doctor, a stay-at-home mom that was raised in an evangelical home, or a drug addict who's living on the streets, that there is always, God is always there wanting to show you more, give you more, and love you more.
Amen. All right. Well, Light in Our Darkness is the name of the book, and we'll talk more about it if we have time a little bit later on. But Lisa Kratz, K-R-A-T-Z, LisaKratzThomas.com is where you can go for more details about all of that. And Light in Our Darkness is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, etc. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. Sam in Mississauga, Ontario, up near Toronto. How you doing, Sam? And welcome to NBL.
Good. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. So a question or comment here?
I have a question. And also, I want to tell about the addiction I have. If, I have a gambling problem. It's been, I'm reading the Bible and praying, but I'm not a Christian, but I try like to see like the only way I feel in peace when I'm praying. And I really, and again, get back to the gambling problem again. And when I get as much, I try to be closer to Jesus. And then again, back, it's been like back and forward again. And I really like physically, emotionally, like really suffering. And I try to just quit, and I don't know how to do.
Right. Okay, so gambling problem, you feel like you're in over your head, and as far as your relationship with God, you're praying to him and stuff like that, but don't say that you're not actually a believer, not a Christian. Let's just start there. By the way, Sam, I'm so glad you called. I really am. And I want to kind of throw it out here to Lisa and Kathy. Maybe we can start with Kathy. I may have a few things to share at the end. We'll see. But Kathy, your thoughts, what would you immediately respond to Sam with?
I would say, Sam, I really can relate in terms of having something that I just couldn't stop doing. And I didn't. I tried to get close to God, and it didn't seem to be working. And I just want you to know you are not alone. Mm-hmm. You're not worse than other people, and there really is help in 12-step recovery for you. That God has a plan for your life. He has a destiny for your life, and it's very important. We all need you, and I truly believe that you can find God and you can find the freedom that you obviously are wanting. I can hear it in your voice through a 12-step program.
Lisa, any thoughts for Sam?
Yeah, first I'd like to say, you know, it takes a lot of courage to pick up the phone and call, and that's the first step right there. You admit it. You admit it. And the only requirement for membership is a desire to change. That's the requirement, a desire to change. And, you know, they say in the room, don't give up before the miracle happens. So what I would say to you, Sam, is just find a 12-step meeting that you could attend and just show up, listen. When you hear suggestions, take them. Because, you know, sometimes God will do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. There is no way I could have quit smoking crack. I couldn't do it. I felt like I was the worst, the dirtiest, the low. I felt like I was gum on somebody's shoe. And I can tell you that it wasn't a burning bush, but it was little by little by little. And it was just suiting up and showing up. And I started to feel love. And I can tell you, love is the thing that transforms my heart. Mm-hmm. So I want you to know, my brother, that I love you. We love you. I know that may sound so weird, but we do, because you want to know why? We hear that desire, as Kathy mentioned, in your voice to change. And I'll tell you what, you've got more than you can even imagine with that. So thank you for calling.
Absolutely. Sam, let me ask you a quick question before we let you go. You mentioned that you want to do better, it sounds like, that you're trying to have a relationship with God, as though maybe if you try harder, that could just kind of happen. But I guess here's the picture that comes to mind, and maybe this is not your case, but it was for me at one point in my life where, like, I wanted Jesus to help me as if he was a guy standing on a street corner who had the $20 that I need right now. In other words, like, I'm going to go to him and say, hey, like, I need something from you. Can I borrow some money? And he hands me $20 and I leave. But I never have a relationship with him. He's just a guy to go to for stuff, you know. And I think some people kind of do that with Jesus, kind of try to keep him at arm's length. Like, I want what he can offer me, but I really don't want him. And I just want to ask you, do you desire to know him and have a relationship with him, or is it more that you're just kind of, you do?
Yes, I do. Yes. And I was trying when I hear this program, like in the radio. I was touching the radio, and then by accident it's showing, like, this station, and I started listening. Mm. And then I see, like, they have, like, a church in the beach in Ontario somewhere, and... Yep. And I really, like, read Bible that time, and I quit for almost months, like, not gambling or going to casinos. And then I said to myself, that's it. I want to accept Jesus to my life. And somehow, like, things, I don't know what, like, bad things, like a bad idea come, again, back to gambling. And I really was attending to this, it was called, I believe, church in the beach, and then to accept Jesus there. And I listened to some program, like, all was, like, really encouraged me, like.
Yeah.
And then at home, I pray, and I try to just to stop. And
okay.
Somehow I just keep him back and forward now, but...
Here's the thing.
Yes.
Sam, you are so close to beginning that relationship with Christ, if it hasn't already begun. But in any case, it's nothing more than calling out to the one who can help you. Like I mentioned, a guy on a street corner who has something that you need, he's not just inviting you to come for what you need. He's inviting you to come for a real relationship with him. And so Jesus, to really know Jesus just means to turn away from sin, to turn away from our addictions, to turn away from the stuff that we thought would bring us comfort, to turn from that stuff and to turn towards Jesus and say, Lord, I've made a mess of things. I've sinned. I've had problems in my life that are bigger than me, and I need your help. And so I want you to be a part of my life. I want to know you. And while God may use 12-step programs and relationships with other Christians and Bible teaching and church on the beach and some of the other things you mentioned to be an encouragement to you. The best thing you can have is a relationship with the living God by inviting him into your life. And you know, it says in Revelation 3:20 where Jesus is speaking and he's saying, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock." Like he's knocking at the door of our lives. He's saying, "Sam, I'm knocking at the door of your life." And he says, "If any man or woman hears that voice and opens that door, I will come in and have a relationship with them and they with me." So, Sam, what I hear, and I think Kathy referred to this, Lisa referred to it, Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart saying, I want to be a part of your life, Sam, because I have the answers. I can overcome the stuff you can't overcome. Will you let me in? And I guess my question would be to you, would you do that now? Would you be willing to invite Jesus in right here and right now with all of us here to encourage you and to cheer for you and to pray along with you? Would you be willing today to say, "Lord Jesus, come into my life because I'm going to need your help to turn away from this stuff that I can't defeat in my own strength"? Would you be willing to do that?
Yes, I will. And this voice always, it's inside me, calling me, but there's something like kind like block me back again when like go back to life. But there is voice inside me like calling me.
Well, Sam, you need to know this. Jesus said, "No man can come to the Father." Jesus said, "No man can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them." So I believe that God Himself, who loves you so much, put a hook in your heart, and He's tugging you in the direction of Jesus. Okay, but there's an enemy. There's somebody who wants to destroy you. And I believe it was Lisa who said earlier, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's the one who wants you to pay no attention to that voice. He wants you to forget about it and go back out and gamble some more and try to fill the hole in your soul with gambling, which you know isn't working. And he's trying to destroy your life, and yet Jesus is saying, "Sam, would you open the door and let me in?" So my question to you would be, would you be willing to simply say, "Lord Jesus, I want to turn from sin, and I want to invite you in because I need you to change me"? Could you pray that prayer from your heart? And if you would, pray it right now, and we'll agree with you. And as soon as you're done praying, I'm going to ask Kathy to follow up and pray for you as a brother in Christ, because this whole thing can take an incredible turn the minute the living God enters your life, Sam. So would you invite you? All you need to do is say, "Lord, I've sinned and I need help. Would you come in your own words?" Can you do that?
Yes.
All right. You do that, and when you're done, you just say amen, and then Kathy's going to pray for you. Go ahead, Sam.
Yeah. "Oh, Jesus, I'm in sin. Come to my heart and save me."
Yes, God. Amen. Kathy?
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for Sam. We just thank you for reaching him, Lord, and for loving him. We thank you that before he was born, you had a powerful plan for his life. And, Lord, we know that it hasn't been easy at all, that he has been struggling. So, God, I thank you that you are putting around him a people and meetings and everything that he is going to need in order to walk in the kind of life that you intend for him.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I just pray peace in Sam's life right now and in his heart. I pray that you would bring people quickly to him and that he would be able to receive everything that you have for him. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 All right, let me say one more thing, and I know Lisa's going to want to comment. Sam, Jesus said, "I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice," which you described hearing, "and you open the door," he said, "I will come in and I will have a relationship with you and you with me." So, did you open the door of your heart to Jesus?
I do.
Okay. So where is Jesus right now?
I want him in my heart, in my life.
Okay. Wait. Let's go back. Let's review. Jesus said, "If you open the door, I will come in, and I'll have a relationship with him and he with me." Did you open the door of your heart, Sam? You said yes, right?
Yes.
So then where is Jesus?
In my heart.
You got it right, man. You got it right. You are right. Jesus is a part of your life because you have chosen to trust him and not your own ability, not great ideas, not even 12-step programs. You've chosen to trust Jesus, and he makes good on his promises. Lisa, what would you say to our brother, Sam, here? And by the way, Sam, this may be day one for you, but welcome to the family of God. Lisa?
Mm-hmm. Yes, welcome, and I'm so happy and so excited. And your life from this point can change. It will change. But I would just say this is to, you know, take it easy. Keep it simple. Don't try to do a million different things. Just keep it simple. If it's reading a proverb a day, if it's reading a psalm a day, just keep it simple and just keep asking the Lord to help you and to change you. I think the most powerful prayer that anyone can pray is, Jesus, help me. When you cry out to Jesus, I can remember walking up to buy drugs, and I would say, Jesus, you've got to help me. And I'll tell you, I mean, this is, I would turn around. And this is after years of not being able to do it. So I just want to encourage you to just stay connected. Do what you need to do to talk to God, to talk to the Lord, to talk to Jesus, and to get to know him and the sound of his voice even more. And I promise you, eventually you will turn from that old life and everything will be brand new.
Amen. Sam, one other thing.
I do believe.
Go ahead. You're going to say something?
Yes, I say I do believe that it happened like when I was like young, and my sister, she can't walk for many years. And what happened to our family, like when my mom really pray and ask Jesus, please, I want my daughter to walk again. And she really asked and pray and so much and crying. And then she said, I just want to go home. My daughter, I want her to see walking. And then when she come home, I was about 19 years, and my wow. sister was older than me. And then she see my sister walking the stairs. So I know Jesus what did to our family. I know he will help me. I know he will help
he will.
Me. But yeah. Yes, and I do believe, and I do believe it's gonna change my life.
He will totally change your life as long as you let him, and that's going to be the encouragement. Now, he's in your life as long as you meant what you said, and I believe that you did, Sam, only you know for sure, but if you meant what you said, Jesus is a part of your life right now. Yeah. So I just want to encourage you with two things. One, I'm going to put you on hold, and if you want, this is your choice, if you want to leave any information, I'll be happy to send you a few things that could be encouraging to you as a new believer.
Yes, please.
I pray to God that you'll get involved in a 12-step group near you, and if you need any assistance, maybe we can help with that part too. But I'm actually going to be up near Mississauga at the end of this month with some other brothers in Christ, some of whom are new believers. And man, we would love to get together and have a cup of coffee with you, Sam. Just get to know you and encourage you. And all of us have struggled with sin. All of us have been in difficult places. But, I mean, it's still a few weeks away, but if you're willing, Sam, I'd love to meet with you somewhere and have a cup of coffee and just welcome you to the body of Christ.
Yes, please.
All right, very good. Then give some of your info to Zach, man, and we'll be able to contact you and stay in touch. But, Sam, God is beginning an amazing work right now.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's not just from the outside, it's from the inside. Sam, he can do a lot since you've let him in. Amen.
Yes.
All right, God bless. Amen. Thank you for your phone call.
You're welcome.
All right. So, Zach, man, if you don't mind, if you could grab that info, it would be helpful. And we will be back with more of NBL in just a moment here on WDCX. Lisa Kratz-Thomas is our guest. Kathy Gray as well. Thank you, Jesus, for what you are doing in the hearts and lives of people who need you.
Something got you in its grip? Have you met the Chainbreaker?
It's Zach Williams that sings the song Chainbreaker. And Sam, for your sake and for all of us who struggle with addictions or behaviors or stuff that we don't want in our lives and we feel like we're bound up in chains, the Chainbreaker is Jesus. And Lisa Kratz-Thomas knows that. So does Kathy Gray. And we've only got a few minutes left here, but let's continue the conversation. I will get to you in a second, but Barb, first of all, from Curtis, Ontario. And you've been holding for a long time, Barb. Thank you for your patience.
Oh, it's okay. I have a long commute. I'm still driving.
Welcome to Toronto, right? Yeah, wow.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. So you had a comment?
Yeah. Yeah, I had a comment. My husband was a drug addict, and he went to NA where he found Christ, and he also kicked the habit for good. He hasn't touched cocaine in 15 years. And I just wanted to say it was a really positive thing. He went to 100 meetings in probably about 4 weeks. He was doing 3 meetings a day. He was driving all over to get to those meetings. Mm-hmm. You know, he was shocked when he walked in there and they said, you know, you need to, you know, reach to your higher power. Well, he was really raised in a Christian home. He had no interest in walking the Christian walk. And when they said higher power, he knew immediately who that was. He was so overwhelmed that even in a place like NA, there was this awareness of who God was and how he could help.
Wow.
And believe you me, he helped.
Praise God. What a story. Anyone want to comment on that? Go ahead.
Oh, I do. I mean, it's so phenomenal how God shows up inside of those rooms and how he shows up everywhere. But what I really like is, again, the fact that it's that we, it's that belonging. It's feeling like maybe I can change my life. Just that seed of hope. And, you know, I was much like your husband. I used to go to 3 to 4 meetings a day. I did it for years because I was told this early on. If you chase sobriety, which of course is God, okay? But if you chase sobriety the same way you chased your addiction, then you will have a much healthier walk in the 12 steps. And I'll tell you, it was the truth because I was just that damaged at the time. And I needed a complete brainwashing of the Lord, from the Lord. So really good stuff. Congratulations. And it is just, there's just so much hope inside of those rooms. And that's one of the things that addiction, any kind of addiction, steals from you is hope and joy. So thank you so much for sharing that today.
Absolutely. Thanks for the phone call. Io, want to get to your call real quick, and we are super short on time, but your thoughts, Io?
Hey, guys. I was just so excited about listening to Sam, and I just wanted to congratulate him for the simple ABC. A means you got to admit. B means you got to believe. And C means you got to commit. And commitment is like, you know, buying a sausage and egg. Egg is involved, but the bacon is actually committed. What do I mean by that? We got to be really serious about our relationship with Christ. So, Sam, congratulations to you, my brother. For my sisters out there, your guests, I want to thank them as well for what they're doing because this is so powerful. And it's just amazing to be listening to all this through the radio. God bless you guys.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bless you.
God bless you.
By the way, ladies, I-O is oh yeah spelled backwards, O-Y-A. So.
Love how that's cool.
He's an awesome caller. He calls in periodically here on MBL. Anyway, we're short on time, but some final thoughts here. Clearly God showed up. I'm just so rejoicing. Kathy, your thoughts real quick?
Oh, my gosh. This is just really re-energizing for me with the first step because, you know, we always are encountering new things that we realize we're powerless over. And just hearing these testimonies of change and energy and how God releases us to do what we were created to do, and the first step is by admitting that we needed his help. This has just been super encouraging to me personally.
Totally. Lisa, obviously you can go to lisakratzthomas.com, but you also mentioned you've got a Facebook page called Light in Our Darkness where people can message you and Kathy. So I wanted to add that in, but your thoughts here as we close out?
Well, quickly, I just want to say that I don't know if anybody else is inspired today, but oh, my gosh. I mean, but see, this is what happens. This is when you know that you are in the will of God. This is when you know that God has changed your life. And, you know, we're not anybody special, us three. We're just ordinary, everyday, garden variety people. But what is special? We're ordinary, but he's extraordinary. And when we just surrender to him and we just give him the credit and let him take us down that path,
the most amazing things happen. So thank you for the opportunity today and for all the callers. Mm-hmm. I am just blown away. I'm so excited.
Incredible. And thanks all of you who participated with us, and especially Sam, who called in and was so transparent and honest. And Sam, we're all going to be praying for you. I'm talking not just us three, but thousands of people in the U.S. and Canada are thrilled to know that you've said yes to Jesus, and God is beginning an incredible work in your life. Step number two next week is what, Lisa?
Step number two is came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity.
All right. The power greater than ourselves, insert the word Jesus, could restore us to sanity. All right. Looking forward to that. Again, go to Light in Our Darkness on Facebook. You can connect with Kathy and Lisa there, or go to lisakratzthomas.com. Ladies, thank you. And Lord willing, we'll see you again next Monday right here.
Thank you, Neil.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Neil.
So there's best-selling authors Lisa Kratz-Thomas and Kathy Gray.